What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
On at 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning, and joining me on the line this morning is my regular guest, Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. Good morning, Simon. It is good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, we've got a hot topic this morning. WA Police, this story came out last week. WA Police staff who have not received at least one COVID vaccination will be forced to wear masks at work. Now, this is after the Police Commissioner described vaccination rates in the force as unacceptably low, quote, and vowed to introduce drastic changes. Now, since that, there's obviously been a few other stories surface as well, I know, with SPC and Ballarat, amongst a few others. First question for you, Simon, today. Can an employer compel workers to tell them about their vaccination status?
Right. First of all, you're spot on that this thing is a fast-moving feast. Mm. And since that story broke last week, lots of things have come to the surface. And I think perhaps the biggest point to make and the place to start is with the Prime Minister's comment over the weekend, where he made it very clear that the government won't be stepping in and legislating for mandatory vaccinations or the disclosure of vaccination status, and has instead thrown all responsibility for that back onto the business sector. And what that really means is that the law's not going to change. It's now simply going to be interpreted in a pandemic context. And what that means, in plain English, is that every different business, every different organisation that employs people, from the police to law firms to media stations, are all going to have to make their own individual decisions as to what they think is fair and reasonable. And the problem with that, on the one hand, is that it really is going to mean every employer, you know, you can't copy a template, you can't simply refer to an act, you're going to have to make a judgment call based on legal advice. But on the flip side, it does at least mean that there is an argument for some exemptions. It does at least leave the door open for some people to explain why they don't think they should be vaccinated or disclose their vaccination status.
Okay. I mean, Simon, a lot of workplaces, employers have a workplace policy. Say, for example, mandatory drug testing before a work shift. Is there a difference here? What's the difference between that policy and what we're potentially looking at here?
It's a good comparison because actually the law is pretty much the same for both. It's just that one really relates to specific industries that have either had a problem with drugs before, or it's critical that there's absolutely no drug usage while they're operating heavy machinery on mining sites, for example. Mm. But the law surrounding that and surrounding the need for a COVID vaccination is actually the same. It really is work health and safety and employment fairness, things like that. And at the end of the day, it means that all employers have to take lawful steps to ensure a healthy and safe workplace. And that includes putting in place, you know, testing policies. But it also means looking at whether or not there are exemptions and making a big judgment call. And this is, again, where it's going to get tricky. The big judgment call is whether you're on a mining site or in an office, does a safe and healthy workplace necessarily mean my staff all have to be vaccinated? That's the individual judgment call every single employer is going to have to make. And it's got to be done in a way that is not just reasonable and lawful, but also not discriminatory. Okay. So there's a few tests there, a few hurdles, and it's why I think employers, small business in particular, should be getting some legal advice pretty quickly on how to put a policy together.
Interesting. Simon, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm keen to ask you if an employee refuses to comply with this, and we'll chat about that shortly. I'm getting a lot of the text lines nearly melted. We're getting a lot of messages coming through on this one. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. My guest on the line this morning is Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group, getting a legal view on the recent story regarding the WA police staff who have not received at least one COVID vaccination will be forced to wear masks at work. Back after this. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group is on the line. We've been talking about the WA police who are saying that their staff who have not received at least one COVID vaccination will be forced to wear masks at work. Good morning, Bob. You've got a question or a comment this morning to join the conversation.
Oh, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a lot of questions, but I've peppered your mobile number with a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing I have an issue here is the level of coercion that seems to be around the whole COVID and vaccine response. And look, I'm pro-vaccine, and a lot of us have had vaccines, but I stay away from social media and stuff like that. I like going to the government websites, looking at the actual numbers, and I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not seeing the numbers there to warrant this kind of extreme reaction that we're seeing. And I don't know if there's a possibility of getting that across in a quick phone call here. But I have sent you a bunch of links that are all verifiable government websites on data. And there's been infection fatality rate estimates now well past, what are we looking at, 15 months or so, putting the IFR somewhere around 0.23%.
Mm-hmm.
And for an emergency approval vaccine, it just seems... The case is a bit weak for making it a strongly mandated thing. And I sometimes wonder whether some of our leaders have sort of got a bit of a saviour complex. You know, they want to save the world. You know, we're in a big battle. Mm. And I mean, it's serious for those that have existing diseases. There's no doubt about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what our Prime Minister said about getting informed consent. You know, talk to your doctor and... If your doctor reckons it's a good thing for you, go for it.
Mm, okay.
But, you know, government stats are that for under 50 years old, people that are healthy, it is so close to zero risk of death that it's not funny. So,
okay.
But for those that have existing disease, big issue.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate you having your opinion there. Simon, what are your thoughts on that? Bob's suggesting that the numbers don't stack up from a government website perspective information.
Look, it's all very relevant and useful and important data that Bob's referring to, and the whole issue of whether in Australia COVID-19 generally has been a big enough health scare to warrant the response that we've had, the lockdowns and now the vaccinations. Look, it's a fair point.
Mm.
What's happened, though, is that debate, that argument over the, I guess, seriousness of COVID-19 has moved on. The focus today in Australia is that we haven't had the deaths because, you know, we are a big island in the middle of nowhere,
mm.
and we've locked down and we've done things differently to other countries. And so the focus is on avoiding what's happened in the UK, the US and many other countries over the last 18 months. And that's where the whole issue of mandatory vaccination is coming in. It's not to turn our numbers away from, you know, huge fatalities in Australia. It's to make sure it doesn't happen in future.
Mm.
And it's to enable the country to open up again to the rest of the world that has had a far greater problem with it than us. Because
mm.
that's yeah. the context. We want to open our borders and we want to let everybody from South America, the EU, the UK, the US back in here to invest, to study, to holiday. And at the moment, we are... on the same data, this is the government's view, this is the view not just of the Prime Minister and Cabinet, but the Solicitor General, Dr. Donoghue, we are very vulnerable if we don't get vaccinations up. So the data as to the past is not the focus anymore. The data is all about other countries and wanting to let them back in, hence the argument we need to be vaccinated.
All right. Simon, can I put you on hold? I was keen to get your thoughts on, from the legal perspective, if an employee refuses to comply with if this was made mandatory. Keen to get your thoughts on that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Back soon. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group is on the phone. We are talking about the potential mandatory workplace vaccinations. Simon, we've got some more calls. The text line has melted this morning, but Josephine joins us on the line. Good morning, Josephine. You got a comment or a question this morning?
Yeah, good morning. I think some things that Simon was saying was quite good and quite pertinent, made some good points. With delayed COVID coming into Australia because of all the lockdowns initially and extended lockdowns, and hopefully in this time we've prepared our frontline hospitals and resources and allocated everything appropriately. The benefit of that is that we've now can look at the other countries and see how everyone else is doing because of, you know, we've been kept safe. Putting aside severity of the disease, which is the previous caller had mentioned, which he did make some good points, if you look at the other countries that have now increased all their vaccination rates, they've got vaccination rates of 80%, even some of them. Look at Malta, Iceland, Israel, even in the US. They've got high vaccination rates, and the vaccine doesn't seem to be reducing transmission. In fact, some of these countries are going back into lockdown. So I don't see, you know, the point of mandating something when the point of mandating something is, you know, we're saying we're going to need to increase everyone's vaccination rate so we can open back up so that we protect our vulnerable. But in fact, what we're seeing is that the vaccine reduces severity and reduces death, which is fantastic, right? It's great. You're less likely to die from the disease. But by reducing severity, what you could end up doing is that you reduce the severity of disease so you don't know you're really very sick. And so you keep going out. And the idea then of the government saying that, okay, you know, we're going to reduce restrictions on those who are vaccinated, these vaccinated individuals with less severe disease are going to go out and pass on the disease to anyone else vulnerable who can't get vaccinated. We need a better vaccine. If we're even going to start to begin to talk about mandating, which has its own legalities and freedoms and things like that associated with that, before even getting there, you need a better vaccine.
Josephine, thank you for your question and comments. Interesting thoughts there, Simon, from Josephine. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Israel has the highest vaccination rate, close to 90%, and they're still going into lockdown. What are your thoughts on Josephine's comments?
I think they're excellent comments, all of them, and I agree with the thrust and sentiment of them entirely. It's probably one reason why the Prime Minister is refusing to legislate for mandatory vaccination and instead saying it's a business responsibility on a case-by-case, business-by-business perspective. I suggest there might be a little bit of just simply hedging your bets there on the PM's part, which I don't understand, but the comments made certainly raise an issue that's outside of perhaps the legal debate today, but touches very much on the need, let's say the recognition that this is a once-in-a-century pandemic. Mm. It's not like we're tackling a new variation of the common flu. It is literally a once-in-a-generation, you know, extraordinary international pandemic. And it's in that context that I guess even introducing compulsory vaccination at the moment opens the door to then make boosters and new variants of vaccines compulsory as well. Mm. Many would argue that it is a step in the right direction, even if right now the actual rate of the vaccinations cutting down on transmission in the community don't seem that impressive. And I think Israel is an excellent example. Mm. As you say, very high vaccination rate. In fact, they've been, a lot of people there have had two or three different vaccinations or double the amounts of one. And they're looking for new boosters as of this morning's news. So big issue, very real issue. The impact that it has on the discussion about the legalities of mandatory vaccination, it just makes an individual employer's job all the harder at the moment. The government's saying we're not going to legislate for it. The government is saying, however, we will support the business sector generally if they decide to make vaccinations mandatory. But there will be the room for exemptions, and it always has to be reasonable. And I suppose the comments just made might go to the core of how reasonable it is to insist on vaccinations when the data shows that it might not have the impact we hope it does. Mm.
Simon, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up, but time has gone quickly this morning. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Back after this one. are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. And joining me on the line this morning is my regular guest, Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. We've been talking about workplace potential mandatory vaccinations. Janine, you've got the final comment today. Would you like to ask a question to Simon?
If people don't have the needle and their bosses sack them, can you be done for unfair dismissal?
Well, Simon, that's exactly what I was going to ask at the start, but Janine's asked it. What are your thoughts on this, unfair dismissal?
It's going to be the question on everybody's minds at the moment, so it's a fantastic question to deal with now. Let me just very briefly recap on what we've already mentioned today. So first of all, up-to-date advice here from the Prime Minister and Cabinet is that the government will not legislate to make vaccination mandatory. They're going to stay out of it. They're instead saying that this is up to the business sector to work out on a case-by-case, business-by-business perspective. Policies for mandatory vaccination will need to be lawful, reasonable, and not discriminatory. There will be room for religious and health exemptions if they can be proved. That doesn't necessarily mean it won't be let go because of that exemption, but the door is open for some exemptions. So that's really the context, as well as noting that we are not talking here about the flu. It's a once-in-a-generation pandemic. That's the context. So to now jump from that to the specific question, can I be sacked if I don't get vaccinated? Look, if you are in a frontline public-facing role, if you're in healthcare, if you're in anything like that, then I would say almost certainly the answer could be yes, depending on the policy that your employer has drawn up and that they argue that you have breached. The PM has outlined what he considers to be a sliding scale of reasonableness depending on what your employer does, depending on what you do for a job. And the less client-facing, the less public-facing work, then perhaps the less reasonable a policy of mandatory vaccination becomes. I mean, if you can do your job working from home, then it's going to be harder to prove that you should be vaccinated, even if you've got reasons in your mind not to. So let's, though, jump from there to this, and that is the pretty wide-held view across certainly the employment law team in my firm, HHG, and across other firms in Australia. The view is that we're going to see a big jump in unfair dismissal claims. A lot of people will probably test the veracity of a mandatory vaccination policy, but whilst we see that happening, we still think that there will be a greater appreciation, a more supportive attitude of the reasonableness and lawfulness of employers who do mandate vaccination. We think that effectively the legal bodies, the judicial officers, are going to take a pretty generous approach to employers here because they understand that the best any business owner can do right now is go off government medical advice. And that advice right now is get vaccinated. So how are you going to explain to staff that you haven't got a mandatory vaccination policy when they're worried about catching COVID from their workmates? Likewise, though, how are you going to say to someone who really can work at home that they have to be vaccinated regardless of the fact that they never come into contact with the general public? These are tough questions. It does mean you can be fired, but it doesn't mean that you won't have a case for unfair dismissal in some situations.
Simon, a real quick one. We're going over time, but it's such an interesting and hot topic at the moment. Well, I've just got a text message in that says, I'm an aged care worker who, for personal medical reasons, choose not to have the vaccination at this time. I was not going to resign, but I'm now forced to, not of my own choice, but due to the fact that I cannot pay, is it the $20,000 fine?
There's a lot of discussion as to what the fines are going to be, but at the moment, I think that's about right.
Okay.
That's probably not the biggest issue for that person. Just very quickly, first of all, you know, being forced to resign, that is a form of unfair dismissal. You know, you might want to get some legal advice there.
Okay.
But second, I would say that if you're in aged care, well, we already know that, you know, the community and the government view aged care as frontline facing, any person frontline facing in the health sector, it's likely that you could be forced to vaccinate if you have genuine medical reasons as to why that can't happen. you will probably need to disclose those health records to your employer. They have to keep those records very confidential, but you're not going to be able to just run that argument without proving it.
Simon, really appreciate your time. We have run out of time, but we'll catch up next week and we'll continue another robust discussion, hey?
I'll look forward to it.
Good on you, Simon. My guest on the line this morning has been Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. Thank you for all of your text messages and your phone calls this morning. It's great to have a really good discussion about it. Here's Amy Shark and Keith Urban.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.